So, you have a new Marvel project for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I figure we can make a Marvel TV show for Disney Plus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking we could make a show about Wanda and Vision.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the last couple episodes of the MCU, but Vision is very dead.
I know, that's gonna be part of the intrigue.
Okay, so what's going on in this show anyway?
It's gonna be like a 1950s black and white sitcom starring Wanda and Vision, right?
Oh, what the heck are you talking about?
And they're just going about their 1950s lives, you know, dinner with the boss and those kinds of classic sitcom situations.
Are you sure you've seen the MCU before? Because this isn't remotely, that doesn't resemble anything we do at all.
No, I know.
Okay, what is happening?
So then we're gonna start to see that things get a little weird sometimes, you know? Sometimes they can't remember how they got to places, there's some weird stuff showing up.
Oh, what the heck is that about? Please tell me now.
Yeah, there's like a super weird moment with the boss, there's a beekeeper that comes out of the sewer.
Okay, okay.
What's going on? You okay?
I'm not used to slow-moving intrigue, so I'm not sure what to do with myself.
Understandable, sir, but this is a weekly release schedule, right? So we're gonna spread out the reveals and really make people hate the words, please stand by.
Okay, but what's with all the weird stuff, though?
Please stand by. Anyway, so there's also going to be this nosy neighbor character, Agnes, right? And she's a little mysterious, you know? Something's going on with her.
Agnes, huh?
What are you doing?
Is she Agatha Harkness?
That's... yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, great. Got it.
That's kind of supposed to be a reveal later.
Well, listen, if you give people some downtime, they're gonna theorize. That's just how it works.
I'm gonna make you pay for that.
What?
So anyway, then the show starts jumping through the decades every episode, and Wanda gives birth to twins.
Oh, very weird. I don't know what to make of all this random weirdness.
And there's this woman in there, and she seems to remember who Wanda is and that Ultron killed her brother.
Oh, okay, here we go.
And so Wanda gets mad, and she sends her outside of this big magical hex dome that's going on.
And so what's that all about?
Well, it turns out that Wanda's taken over this town called Westview with this magical hex thing, and she's broadcasting it.
Oh.
Yeah, so the S.W.O.R.D. agency, they're keeping an eye on things, you know, watching the broadcasts.
Nice, okay, things making a bit of sense now.
And there's this guy, Director Hayward, running the show. There's gonna be Darcy from Thor there. There's Jimmy Woo from Ant-Man.
Oh, Jimmy, what's going on with Jimmy?
Oh, well, he's gotten really good at that close-up magic stuff.
Oh, I didn't even know I was rooting for that outcome, but I am intensely proud of him.
So am I, sir. So him and Darcy are basically gonna behave as the audience will at home, just kind of watching WandaVision, trying to figure out what's going on.
Okay, okay.
And turns out that woman was a grown-up Monica Rambo from Captain Marvel, and she keeps mentioning this aerospace engineer that she knows.
Aerospace engineer? Reed Richards? Fantastic Four?
Certainly seems like I'm teasing something like that, doesn't it?
It does! Oh, this is very exciting.
Yeah, you like that, huh? You big dummy.
What?
And then at the end of a certain episode, we're gonna have Pietro Maximoff show up.
Oh, but he's dead.
He is, but he's gonna come back, and I figure this time Evan Peters could play him.
But he played Quicksilver in the Fox X-Men movies.
That's right, sir, he did. Let that blow your mind for a minute.
Oh, my God, what does this mean? What are the implications? Is the multiverse open? Are the X-Men on their way?
Please stand by.
What? No!
Oh, please stop torturing me like this. Please stand by.
Wow, okay, yeah, people are gonna hate those words, aren't they?
Oh, most definitely.
Hey, is he secretly Mephisto? Are the twins secretly Mephisto? Am I secretly Mephisto?
Maybe. So then eventually we're gonna reveal that that Agnes lady was actually an evil witch this whole time, and her name is Agatha Harkness.
Yeah, I figured that one out.
You did. So she's gonna have this little theme song explaining that she was evil the whole time. It's gonna be called Agatha All Along.
Oh, okay.
And it's just gonna be so frickin' so good, sir. Just the catchiest song.
Oh, okay, you think people are gonna like it? That's cool.
Oh, yes, sir. People are gonna love it. It's gonna be about how she was pulling all the evil strings all along.
Nice.
How she killed a dog.
Oh, my God.
So then Agatha's gonna be like, okay, I would like to know how you got your power, so let's go look at all your trauma for a little bit.
Very inconsiderate.
For sure. So we're gonna see her and her family back in Sokovia when she was a kid.
Okay.
And turns out she used to watch a bunch of sitcoms, and that's what inspired her grief dome of different sitcom eras.
Oh.
Her dad had all these DVDs like the Dick Van Dyke Show, Bewitched, Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle with Bryan Cranston?
That's right.
Bryan Cranston from Godzilla?
That's the one.
Godzilla with Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson?
That's the... oh, dang it.
What is that? How does that... what is that?
Right, okay, so that's an Easter egg.
Oh, okay, I got a ton of questions about the implications of that Easter egg.
Oh, actually, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about the fact that Marvel actors act in other things sometimes.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Anyway, so at the end of that episode, Agatha's gonna be like, this is chaos, man. magic, Wanda, and that makes you the Scarlet Witch.
That's the name of the character.
Yeah, we're going to make people cheer for something they already knew.
Yeah, they knew, but it hadn't been said out loud.
And we're going to say it out loud.
Oh, saying things people already know out loud is tight.
I know
you know.
Nice, okay. So then Sword is going to manage to make this white Vision and send him inside the Hex to kill Vision.
Oh boy, so they're going to fight?
They are going to fight, sir. Turns out this weird conceptual show is going to end with a big CGI battle, just like Marvel movies.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going to go head to head. It's going to be very cool.
Wow, it's going to be tough for Hex Vision to defeat himself.
Actually, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hits him with some philosophical questions, and so White Vision is like, huh.
Oh.
Yeah, then he gives him his memories, and White Vision is like, okay, I'm Vision now. Bye.
Wait, where does he go?
Off into the MCU until we need him for something.
Okay, so this way we'll be able to kill Vision without killing Vision.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that death isn't permanent. It's just like in real life.
That's not accurate. Oh, also, Monica has powers now from going in and out of the Hex, and she uses them to stop Hayward from shooting the twins.
He was gonna shoot some children?
Well, technically they're not real children, but yeah, Hayward's just gonna become a cartoonishly evil guy in the last episode. That's gonna be his thing.
Wow, yeah.
So then Wanda's gonna have this big showdown with Agatha, and Agatha's gonna show her that she's been a straight-up mental terrorist to the people of Westview.
Oh, that's not good.
And then they're gonna have this big battle with a bunch of different colored beams and a sky beam, just like the end of a Marvel movie.
Wow.
And Wanda's gonna manage to defeat Agatha by putting these big runes on the side of the Hex, which means that only she can do magic in that area.
Oh, how did she know how to do that?
Well, Agatha mentioned that while she was monologuing.
Oh, it's super helpful when villains start monologuing. Didn't The Incredibles make fun of that?
Yeah, that movie did make fun of villains doing that. Fun fact, we're gonna reference The Incredibles a couple of times.
But we're still gonna do the thing it was making fun of.
Exactly. So then Wanda gives herself some new clothes and then traps Agatha in her own mind as a nosy neighbor forever, which I'm sure is a fate worse than death.
Absolutely. That's deeply horrifying, and it gets worse the more you think about it.
It sure does, sir. And then Wanda's gonna have to say goodbye to her twins, but probably not for long, and to Vision, but probably not for long.
Very sad, but probably not for long.
And then as Wanda's walking out of Westview, all the citizens are giving her dirty looks, and Monica's gonna be like, they have no idea what you sacrificed for them.
She mentally tortured them for an extended period of time and probably scarred them for life.
Yeah, but she had to say goodbye to her imaginary friends, so it balances out.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's about it. What do you think?
Well, wait, what about Evan Peters as Quicksilver? What was that all about?
Oh, yeah, it turns out he was just a guy named Boner.
Boner?
Ralph Boner, yeah. That whole thing was a setup for a Boner joke. Yeah, that'll teach people to theorize.
What about Mephisto or Reed Richards? Does Doctor Strange have a cameo? He must have sensed all this going on. Oh, a very painful fart noise.
Yeah, so then we're gonna vaguely tease some upcoming projects and we're out.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, and by the way, I thought it might be fun to release that Agatha All Along song online. People are really gonna like that.
I mean, if people really respond to it, we can release it, I guess. But people aren't gonna freak out over a song where a witch kills a dog.
So, you have a Loki TV show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So we're gonna pick up right from that scene in Avengers Endgame, right? Where Loki grabs the Tesseract during the Battle of New York.
Okay.
And so he's gonna get picked up by something called the Time Variance Authority, because he messed with something called the Sacred Timeline. So they have to prune this new timeline branch he made.
Well, what about all that time travel the Avengers did?
Yeah, well, see, the TVA says that was supposed to happen, but Loki grabbing the Tesseract, that wasn't.
Okay, but some of the time travel they did was because Loki grabbed the Tesseract.
Yeah, well, don't worry about that.
Okay, I won't.
So they bring Loki to the TVA headquarters, and a robot starts to take his clothes off with some claws.
What?
But then that doesn't work, so the robot just kind of zaps his clothes off.
What are you talking about?
Well, sir, if Loki's gonna be the star of a Marvel show, we're gonna have to see him shirtless. That's how this works.
Right, of course, that makes sense.
And so then this lady, Ravonna Renslayer, wants to kill him, because he's a bad variant.
All right.
But then this guy, Mobius, pops in and stops her, and by the way, I was thinking we could get Owen Wilson to play this guy.
Oh, people love Owen Wilson.
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
Wow. And this guy's also really into jet skis.
Ah, I now have a deep desire to see Owen Wilson on a jet ski that I didn't have just a few seconds ago.
I know you do. That's the main hook of the show now.
Oh, picturing Owen Wilson on a jet ski is tight.
So Mobius is gonna show Loki a video of how his life plays out after the Battle of New York. Getting his mom killed, getting close to Thor, getting killed by Thanos.
Okay.
And so watching this video is gonna completely change Loki into a sympathetic character that can lead his own TV show.
He just killed Phil Coulson. Yeah, but he watched a video, so he's pretty much a good guy now.
Oh, okay, you're speedrunning this character development.
Yeah, just kind of get it out of the way with a nice little video, which somehow has the same cinematography as the movies did.
Well, okay then.
And so anyway, the reason that Mobius wants Loki's help is because he's chasing this other variant that keeps killing TVA agents, and it's another variant of Loki.
Oh.
Yeah, and so then Loki figures out that this other version of him is hiding in Apocalypses, because you could do anything there and it won't affect stuff because those timelines are ending anyway.
I guess that makes sense.
It does. See, Loki and Mobius head to Pompeii, and Loki starts interacting with people right before Mount Vesuvius erupts.
Okay, but wouldn't that lead to some of those people dying in different positions than they would have, which would then affect the days of the people that discovered the bodies and create some kind of butterfly effect?
No.
Oh, okay.
So eventually they go to this supermarket in the future, and Loki discovers that the other Loki is a woman, and she goes by Sylvie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so this is her show now.
What?
Yeah, this is really Sylvie's story. She was pruned at a young age and managed to escape, and she's been building up this attack against the TVA for all these years, and Loki's just kind of along for the ride.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so Sylvie sends a bunch of these things called reset charges into the TVA to distract them, right? And she wants to kill these beings called the Timekeepers, who apparently run the show.
Very exciting.
But then they get attacked, so Loki uses this thing called a tempad to teleport them onto a planet called Lamentis that's about to be destroyed.
Smart.
No, not smart, because Sylvie's like, that plan at the TVA, that was years in the making. Years. And you just ruined it.
So why doesn't she just use the tempad to go back and finish the job?
Well, no, now it's out of power.
The plan was years in the making, but she didn't charge the tempad?
That's what we're going with. So then they're gonna talk and talk for like 30 minutes straight, because that's kind of the deal with these episodes.
Oh, it is.
Oh yeah, a whole lot of talking. So then they find this big escape ship they have to get onto, and Loki's gonna be like, oh my god, they're gonna leave all these people to die.
I mean, what does he care? He just killed a bunch of people in New York.
Sir, he watched a video. He cares about this stuff now.
Right, sorry, I forgot.
So this city starts getting destroyed, and Loki's gonna stop a building from falling with his mind.
Oh wow, I didn't realize he could do that.
That's because his power level changes from scene to scene, depending on what I want to happen.
Oh, neat.
Anyway, then the escape ship explodes, so their one way out is destroyed.
Well, it's gonna be hard to get out of there now.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
You see, the power of their newfound love creates a new timeline branch, so the TVA comes and picks them up.
Okay, I thought the whole thing about apocalypses was that anything can happen and it wouldn't change anything. Why does them falling in love affect things?
Because it does, so they're in love now.
Oh my god, can you imagine falling in love with yourself?
I can.
Ugh. Sorry, I'm not interested.
Oh, no, I mean, I can imagine it, obviously, since I wrote it. Also, we're not the same person. I have glasses.
Right, of course.
Anyway, so Sylvie's also gonna reveal that the TVA agents are actually just variants that used to be real people.
Oh.
And then eventually they find out that the Timekeepers aren't even real, and Mobius and Loki are both gonna get pruned.
Oh my god, Loki dies?
Well, no, because see, we're gonna learn that pruning someone just sends them to the void at the end of time, where a big smoke monster called Eliath is then gonna kill them.
Okay, why doesn't the TVA just straight up kill people then? Why the extra steps?
Well, because the fans are gonna expect a scene where we watch Loki die only to find out he's not really dead.
That's a good point.
So Loki ends up in this void place where there are different kinds of Loki variants. Like, there's an old Loki, there's an alligator Loki.
Okay, does that mean in one timeline Odin adopted an alligator, or that they were all alligators in that timeline?
Doesn't matter. What does matter is that we have an alligator Loki now.
Fair enough, so what's the alligator gonna do?
Eat someone's hand.
That makes a lot of sense.
So meanwhile, Ravonna explains to Sylvie the whole thing about how pruning sends you to a void, and she also says there's a ship that can bring you there.
Okay.
But see, Sylvie is smart, and she realizes that she's just stalling for time so agents can get there, and there is no ship.
So what does she do?
Well, she prunes herself so she can go to the void too.
If she decided that Ravonna was lying about the ship, why did she think she was telling the truth about the void and the pruning?
I don't know, but luckily she was telling the truth about that one part, so it works out great.
Well, fantastic.
So then Sylvie's about to be killed by this smoke monster, and Mobius shows up in a pizza car and saves her.
How do you know where she was?
Unclear, but then they go join Loki, who's been dealing with, like, a bunch of Lokis.
Very fun.
And then Sylvie's gonna realize that she can use her enchantment powers on this beast. She's been using them on people all season, kinda like a mind control thing.
Literally nobody in the history of time who's ever been pruned has had powers like that.
That's what we're going with.
Well, okay then.
And Mobius is gonna go back to the TVA using a tempad, and Ravonna's gonna overpower him and escape through a doorway thing.
going?
Where's she going?
Into season two, presumably.
Oh, okay. So then we're gonna meet this guy called He Who Remains, who's kind of Kang the Conqueror, only we don't know he's kind of Kang the Conqueror yet, only we do because we're obviously gonna announce the casting.
Oh boy, so what's he gonna do?
Oh, well, he's gonna talk.
Oh.
Yeah, he's gonna talk for like 45 minutes. He's gonna explain everything. It's gonna be like that architect scene from The Matrix.
Wow.
Talk, 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 talk. And sometimes Loki and Sylvie are gonna be like, why? Or what does that mean? And that'll set up the next rounds of talking.
A very talky finale.
And so essentially this guy is like, you can kill me, which will create like a multiverse and a huge war, or you can take over and protect the sacred timeline.
So what happens?
Well, Sylvie does kill him, and then the multiverse branches out into like crazy timelines, and he's like, see you soon.
Oh boy, that's massive.
It's a massive deal. This multiverse is gonna shape the whole phase of the MCU.
This is gonna be such an insane twist. Nobody's gonna see this coming.
Yeah, as long as we don't spoil that this is gonna happen in some way.
Oh yeah, well, we might do that now that you mention it.
What? How?
So, you have some new Marvel content for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, boy. And I gotta say, this strategy of ours to dump hours and hours of Marvel content onto Disney Plus?
Yeah?
It was maybe a mistake.
Oh.
Yeah, we might have messed up on that. Anyway, too late to stop now, so what's next?
Well, I was thinking we do Loki Season 2.
Oh, everybody's favorite villain that hasn't been an actual villain in about 10 years.
Exactly. I say we double down on this show because it was one of the few ones people actually seem to like.
Very true. So what's gonna happen to Loki this time around?
Well, you know how in Season 1, Loki kind of learn to make selfless decisions for the greater good?
Sure.
Well, in this season, he's gonna learn to make selfless decisions for the even greater good.
I like that.
So after Sylvie killed He Who Remains at the end of season one, Loki starts doing this thing called time slipping.
What does that mean?
It means he glitches like a video game character and uncontrollably jumps around to different times and places.
Interesting.
Yeah, and since he's going back in time, that means he can do stuff then that affects the future.
I feel like that's not the explanation we had for time travel in Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, well, time works differently at the TVA.
Meaning?
It means that now that I've said that, I can do whatever I want and you have to get all the way off my back about it.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing of yours.
So anyway, to stop the time slipping from happening, Mobius and Loki go see this guy named OB because he wrote the TVA handbook.
Okay.
And he says that this is happening because there are so many branching timelines that this thing called the temporal loom is overloading.
Uh-oh, those sound like important time words. So what do they do?
Well, Mobius has to bring this device to the loom, but there's a risk of his skin peeling off and spaghettification, and Loki has to prune himself at the same time.
Pruning and spaghettification?
That's right.
Oh, horrible death words that make me hungry or tight.
All right. So anyway, after all that, it still seems like this thing's gonna overload.
Uh-oh.
So they go find Sylvie in hiding to get her to help.
And where's Sylvie hiding?
Well, she's in the past working at whatever fast food chain the studio has a good relationship with.
Probably McDonald's.
I'm loving it. So Sylvie adores working at this McDonald's because of the fantastic work culture and delicious selection of food.
They have a whole variety of delicious offerings.
Which will be discussed by the characters. Yeah, but Sylvie doesn't want to help out, even though they tell her that her whole timeline's gonna stop existing if she doesn't.
How does that make sense?
Free will or something. Now Obi realizes he needs the temporal aura of He Who Remains or Miss Minutes to fix this loom thing.
All right.
So everybody goes back to 1893 Chicago to find a He Who Remains variant named Victor Timely.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of chaos, and he ends up getting away with Miss Minutes.
Oh, yeah, the cartoon clock lady.
That's the one. But she confesses that she wants to have a physical form because she's in love with them and wants them to, you know, physically be together.
Oh, flirtatious clocks are tight.
What?
So then what happens?
No. No, no, no. What did you mean by that?
By what?
Well, you imply that you're very familiar with the concept of flirtatious clocks.
I don't have a weird secret.
I didn't use that term. You did just now.
Stop.
Okay, so anyway, Victor Timely's not into clocks in that way, so he shuts her down, and then the good guys manage to bring him to the TVA.
Oh, well, good for them.
And Victor Timely's gonna be like, oh, what? Is going on.
Well, what's that voice you're doing?
Well, he's a big old smart science nerd, so he talks like that.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he talks like Donald Glover at the 2-minute mark of the Derek comedy sketch Jerry from 16 years ago.
What?
Yeah.
Kind of a super specific reference.
It's accurate.
I just don't know that anyone's familiar with that.
Then they should type Derek Comedy Jerry into the YouTube search bar and see how Donald Glover talks at the 2-minute mark.
Where are you looking? You got a freaking clock over there?
No, and so then they need to send Victor to fix the loom, but he turns into spaghetti and then everybody turns into spaghetti.
Terrifying and delicious.
But turns out that Loki survives the pasta dish attack because he's the main character.
Oh, so what does he do?
Well, he starts involuntarily time-slipping to the other characters' original lives.
Are we gonna see Owen Wilson on a jet ski?
Yes, sir, we are. That weird specific desire that we implanted in everyone's brains in season one is gonna be paid off, kinda.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
So now Loki has to get the whole team back together and try to fix the loom again.
A lot of loom repair attempts,
but Sylvie doesn't want to help.
Even though she's been told that her reality will stop existing?
That's right.
Wow, she kind of sucks, huh? Gonna be tough to get her to join if that doesn't convince her.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, eventually her reality does turn to spaghetti, so then she decides to help out.
Ugh.
So they try to fix the loom again, but everything turns to spaghetti because they're too late.
Mamma mia.
But then Loki figures out how to control his time slipping, so he sets out to fix this loom earlier.
So what does he do?
Well, he spends centuries learning about physics, but every time Victor goes out, he still turns to spaghetti.
Why does Victor the human have to be the one to go? Why can't Loki the god go?
Well, because Victor's the one who invented this thing, so if there are problems, he can solve them.
Can't Loki have Victor troubleshoot through a communicator?
Hey, shut up. So then Loki goes to see He Who Remains at the end of time, who's like, hey, you can save the loom by killing Sylvie before she kills me.
Right.
But Loki's like, I will not kill Sylvie. She's the best.
She's not.
So then Loki realizes he can destroy the loom and rejuvenate all the timelines and make them into a tree-like structure and hold them.
How? Magic. That works.
So now he's essentially sacrificed himself to oversee all the timeline branches all alone at the end of time forever and ever.
Wow. Well, we've come a long way from the Loki that attacked New York City like a week before this.
Yeah, like a week ago, but also centuries have passed since then. It's a big character transformation.
Major, major transformation. He truly did replace a sewing device.
Well, don't say it like that.
Sorry.
So what do you think?
Well, honestly, I think it's great. You know, you have a show with a distinct voice and a unique style focusing on characters. It's good.
Thank you.
It's really good. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that nothing could put a damper on this.
So, you got some new Marvel stuff for me?
Well, actually, sir, I thought maybe we could take a little break, you know? We've been churning out so much content, I think everybody could use a little breather.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually.
Right?
All right, that should about do it.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm thinking we do a Secret Invasion show.
Oh, the shape-shifting Skrull storyline from the comics?
That's the one.
So Nick Fury's gonna come back to Earth, and let me tell you, he's old and miserable now.
As all protagonists should be.
Yeah, and so he's gonna meet up with Maria Hill, remember her?
Oh yeah, we only got snippets of their partnership in the movies. It'll be cool to dive into that a bit more.
Yeah, for sure. So she dies.
Oh my god.
Pretty much right away.
Dang it.
See, it turns out that some Skrulls are evil now, and there's a little faction of rebels that want to start World War III.
What are they rebelling against?
Nick Fury.
What do you mean?
See, he and Captain Marvel had promised to find them a new planet, but after looking around for like 2 years, they were like, there's nothing out there. There's no planets at all.
Why don't they work something out like the Asgardians to have their own little place on Earth?
Unclear.
So now this Skrull named Gravik is in charge, and he hates Nick Fury and Talos.
Uh-oh.
And Talos' daughter Gaia is gonna be a part of this group, but then she's gonna realize, hey, maybe the Skrulls that want to kill a bunch of people aren't super nice.
Yeah, so she's gonna switch sides?
She is.
Amazing. So Gravik basically wants humans to go to war and blow the planet up.
And live on it.
Well,
so what we're gonna get here is a super sophisticated spy thriller as Fury tries to stop these Skrulls.
Well, yeah, I imagine that's gonna be thrilling. You could really play with the shape-shifting Skrull thing, you know? They could be anyone at any time. Really create some tension in the scenes.
Oh, yeah. That would have been good. Dang it. Wow.
But you have some Skrulls impersonating people, right?
Yeah, but we just let the audience know who's a Skrull pretty much right away. Like, Rhodey is a Skrull. We just tell them that through a mirror.
Well, that might be thrilling in its own way.
Maybe, yeah, maybe, I hope so.
Anyway, so what else happens in this thing?
Well, we're gonna reveal that Nick Fury's actually married to a Skrull.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you ever wanted to see Sam Jackson deeply make out with a green alien, this is the show for you, I guess.
That is on my bucket list. I'd also like to see him make out with a bucket.
Oh, yeah?
Just Sam Jackson making out with anything, really. It's just fun to watch.
Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson tonguing stuff is tight.
All right, anyway, so Gravik gives himself extremist powers using this radioactive machine he has.
Okay.
And he wants to give himself a bunch of superpowers and become a super Skrull.
So he wants World War III and also superpowers and also, like, a house.
That's right, so he can walk around all green-like. And for that war thing, he tries to kill the U.S. president and blame it on the Russians.
Very sneaky.
Yeah, and during the attack, frickin' Talos dies trying to save the president.
Oh, extremely sad. I mean, I think. I kind of remember him from Captain Marvel.
Yeah, he was in that. And, you know, maybe a post-credit scene. There's no way I'm checking.
Totally fair.
Anyway, so then Rhodey the Skrull advises the U.S. president to drop a big old bomb on the Skrull hideout in Russia, which would start World War III.
Uh-oh.
And so Gravik tells Fury, hey, I'll call off the strike if you bring me all the superhero DNA you scraped off the endgame battlefield, you big DNA-collecting weirdo.
So hey, why doesn't Nick Fury call the Avengers? That's kind of his move, isn't it?
We're actually gonna address that. Fury's gonna be like, no, this is way too personal. I gotta do this myself. And also, we can't rely on superheroes all the time.
He's gonna risk the end of the world
because he feels like this is a personal situation?
That's right, it's personal. No superpowers. So what does he do?
He sends Gaia to go get superpowers and fight the fight for him.
But
so Gaia shapeshifts into Nick Fury and goes to this super radioactive hideout and pretends to be dying from radiation and whatnot.
Okay.
And so then when Gravik gives himself the powers, it also gives them to Gaia.
What if he had just shot Fury or not kept him inside the machine with him?
Well, it worked, so get all the way off my back about the plan, and then it's time for a final showdown between these two.
It's time for Nick Fury's personal fight.
That's right, and so Gaia and Gravik start punching each other with a bunch of recognizable superpowers.
Like what?
Well, like Gaia flexes Drax's muscly arm with the tattoos.
Are his tattoos a part of his DNA?
Hey, shut up, and she has Ghost's powers, you know, Ghost.
Ghost couldn't really control those powers and also wasn't at the endgame battle.
Hey, shut up, and Mantis's mind control powers to put Gravik to sleep.
How does she know how to use those powers?
Hey, shut up, and Ebony Maw's magic rings.
How are rings a part of someone's DNA?
Hey, shut up. Hey, shut up. Haven't we established that magic is something you learn? Hey, shut up.
Well, okay then.
Okay, great. So punch, 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 power beam, punch, 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 backflip, probably.
Very exciting.
But hey, if they both have those extremist healing powers, it's gonna be hard for one of them to win.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Gaia's gonna punch a big hole in his chest, and so that does it. He's dead now. Why does that do it if he has healing powers?
Because the fight's over now. That worked.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and while that's happening, there's gonna be a tense showdown between Fury and Rhodey and the President.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and Fury's gonna be trying to convince the President that this freaking guy's a Skrull.
Wow, if only there was a way for them to identify the Skrulls.
Well, throughout the whole show, they're gonna be shooting Skrulls because they bleed purple, so that, you know, shows it.
Why not do that now? Because this way we can have a couple of minutes of manufactured tension.
Smart.
And so after those couple of minutes are over, Fury's gonna shoot Rhodey and reveal he's a Skrull.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow. Then the president's gonna go on TV and declare all off-world species as enemy combatants.
Oh, he is.
And people are gonna go nuts. There's gonna be vigilantes running around shooting political leaders and stuff, trying to find the Skrulls. It's gonna be absolute chaos and paranoia.
You know, that actually sounds like a more interesting secret invasion show.
Yeah, well, Nick Fury has to leave Earth now, so we're not doing that.
He's leaving? But he arguably showed up and made the situation a whole lot worse.
Yeah, so now he's gotta go. He's gotta get out of there.
All right. So what do you think?
I think it sounds like a pretty good show. And hey, I'm picturing some cool, like, AI generated intro credits. That'll really be cool.
Ow.
Oh, you're starting to use AI for stuff, huh?
Yeah, but you don't have anything to worry about. We're just gonna start using it for stuff like art and, you know, ideas and acting and voice acting, background acting, script writing.
Oh, please don't.
No, I mean, AI is getting really good. What's the alternative?
Pay fair wages to human people for all the jobs you just mentioned?
You sound insane. We don't do that now.
I know.
Anyway, let's spend $200 million on this and reshoot a bunch of it and chop it up in the editing room and dump it on a streaming service. We can do no wrong, and this system has no flaws.
So, you have a new Marvel show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay, okay, what characters is it gonna follow?
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That explains the title. Great work so far.
Yeah, and so Sam is struggling with the fact that Steve Rogers left him the shield, right? So he gives it to a museum.
Oh, okay.
And Bucky's dealing with some government-mandated therapy and hanging out with his buddy, this really old guy, Yuri Nakajima.
Oh, that's cute.
Whose son he murdered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, he did it while he was brainwashed, and he's kind of building up the courage to tell Yuri about it as part of his recovery.
So he's like trying to get over having been the Winter Soldier.
Exactly. And so then the government names this guy John Walker as the new Captain America.
Oh, I hate this guy already.
Actually, doesn't seem like such a bad guy.
Oh.
But he's such a bad guy.
Okay.
But he's not that bad eventually, kinda. But not great.
Oh, I don't know how to feel about this guy, but I'm captivated.
Anyway, so then we're gonna find out about this terrorist organization called the Flag Smashers.
And what's their deal?
Well, they want the world to go back to the way it was before everyone was snapped back, because everything's all messed up now.
Messed up how?
Well, this organization called the Global Repatriation Council are trying to get things back the way they were before the blip, because now people are living in each other's houses, there are refugees, it's a mess.
And so what's their plan?
Oh, well, about 20 of them have taken super soldier serum, and their plan is to get out there and go get it done.
What?
They're gonna head out there, get it all taken care of.
I don't get, what?
Listen, sir, they have a vague plan, probably. I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about what it is exactly.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Anyway, so their leader's this surprisingly young lady, Carly Morgenthau, and she wears a mask and she's like mean, but you kinda get where she's coming from, it's just that her methods are questionable.
Oh, sounds a lot like that Enfys Nest character from Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh yeah, I guess it does. Well, we'll make sure to make it different enough.
Okay, good, who should we get to play her?
How about that Enfys Nest actress from Solo, A Star Wars Story?
Oh yeah, she's great, good call.
Great, so what's her deal? Why does
everybody look up to her?
Well, because she keeps saying things like, our movement is strong.
Okay.
It's time to make ourselves heard.
All right, is she like super charismatic or something?
No, she just quietly says vague things, and everyone's really into that, apparently.
Well, okay then, so what else is going on in the show?
Oh, well, we're gonna tackle some really important topics like racism in America.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, we're gonna have this whole storyline with this old African-American super soldier, Isaiah Bradley, that the government did tests on. Really heavy stuff.
Wow, yeah, important stuff to tackle for sure.
Yeah, also Baron Zemo's gonna do a little dance.
What?
Well, we gotta balance out some of the heavier stuff with some lighter stuff, so Baron Zemo's gonna hit the dance floor.
Okay, what's Zemo doing in the show anyway?
Well, Bucky and Sam realize they need his help, so they break him out of jail, and he's much sassier now.
Well, great.
Yeah, so they head to this city called Madripoor, because they want to find out where the super soldier serum's being made.
Right.
And while they're there, they're gonna meet Sharon Carter. She's from the movies.
She is, and there's this mysterious person in Madripoor called the Power Broker, and we don't know who it is.
Is it Mephisto?
What? No.
Sorry, I'm still a little riled up from the WandaVision pitch.
Now, this Power Broker person seems to be a very influential person in Madripoor. They're pulling a bunch of strings, they have crazy access to stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, so Sharon Carter seems to be a pretty influential person in Madripoor. She's pulling a bunch of strings, she has crazy access to stuff.
Oh, so Sharon is the Power Broker.
What? No.
I feel like with the clues you've laid out, though.
It's not.
Mm-mm. Nobody knows who the Power Broker is.
I feel like it's pretty obviously her, though.
Also, Zemo's gonna put on his purple mask from the comics.
Oh, why does he put that on?
Because it's gonna look good in the trailers.
Can't argue with that.
And so the Flag Smashers, they start doing really intense stuff, like they bomb this GRC headquarters place, kill a bunch of innocent people.
Oh.
Carly straight up calls Sam's sister and threatens his nephews.
So she's like full on evil.
No, actually, we're gonna act like she's misunderstood.
I don't know, seems pretty intense.
Yeah, we're gonna act like she's misunderstood.
If you say so.
So eventually, her and the Flag Smashers are gonna fight against Walker and his partner Lamar, and we're gonna see that Walker's taken some super soldier serum.
Oh, he has.
Yeah, and one of Carly's people is holding Walker because their plan is to stab him to death because he's a symbol, but then Carly accidentally kills Lamar.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so then Walker runs over to Lamar, and the Flag Smashers, they all run away.
Well, why don't they finish the job and kill Walker like they were trying to do?
Well, because this part of the scene is over, so they scatter.
Oh, okay.
And then Walker gets all mad and he kills that guy that was holding him so Carly could stab his heart.
Okay, seems pretty reasonable.
It's not actually, because the bad guy was down and a bunch of people were watching.
Right, yeah, no, killing is bad, but Bucky and Sam have killed bad guys too, right?
Oh no, they do for sure, but this guy was down and he was like, please don't kill me, so it's different.
Maybe some of the people Bucky and Sam killed would have said that too if they hadn't died so quickly.
I guess we'll never know.
Because they died.
Because they died, yeah. So then Walker gets fired as Captain America and he starts to make his own shield.
Oh, I bet that's gonna come into play later.
Yeah, no, not really though. It gets smashed immediately when he starts fighting with it.
Right, that wasn't vibranium. I guess that makes sense.
It's just kind of a metal circle, really, but we're gonna hype it up in a post-credit scene.
Sure, why not?
So Sam is gonna start training with the real shield, you know, how to lodge it into things, how to make it bounce and come back.
Yeah, how does the shield work exactly?
Well, it works however I need it to in whatever action bit I'm writing.
Okay, great, that makes sense.
So anyway, by the finale, the Flag Smashers are gonna have a pretty clear objective.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're gonna kidnap a bunch of GRC senators so they can't pass a resettlement vote.
And so Carly sets a truck of hostages on fire.
Okay, so we're done trying to paint her in a sympathetic light, right?
No, we're still trying.
She's... Okay.
And get this, we're gonna find out that Sharon is the Power Broker.
Right, yeah, I figured that out.
No, you didn't.
Who else would it have...
This is a big twist that I wrote.
Okay.
So then Sam is gonna show up, and he has this new Captain America flight suit that the Wakandans made for him.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, this thing's great. He's fully protected, except the top of his head where his brain is.
Oh, protecting everything except your brain cage is tight.
And so Sam's gonna have to save a helicopter full of hostages.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for him to take out the pilot and make sure the chopper doesn't crash.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it turns out one of the kidnapped senators on board that very helicopter knows how to fly the helicopter, so she takes over.
Oh, hey, yeah, that worked out great.
It sure did. And so eventually, Carly's gonna be trying really hard to kill Sam because she's a sympathetic character, and then Sharon's gonna shoot her dead, so it's very sad.
Is it?
And then Sam's gonna carry her body because it's definitely a sad moment, and then he's gonna talk to some senators.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's gonna be like, stop calling the Flag Smashers terrorists.
Well, I mean, they literally used violence and intimidation against civilians in pursuit of political aims, which is...
You know, the definition of terrorism.
Ew. Sam's gonna tell them to not say that, and then he's gonna keep lecturing them for 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
And one of the senators gonna be like, okay, but logistically, what are we supposed to do here? And Sam's gonna be like, do better, Senator.
Oh, you know, that does sound like it's gonna help a lot.
It is.
Wow, 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 wow.
And so then Sam's gonna make sure that Isaiah's story gets told.
Nice.
And then Bucky's gonna go talk to Yuri and tell him what he did to his son.
Oh, it's gonna be nice to see how that plays out.
Then we cut away.
Oh.
Yeah, we get out of there fast.
Kinda wish you let that moment breathe.
Nope, I'm already gone before we even get to see the moment I've been building up to all season.
Okay.
And then during the end credits, we're gonna have the title card say Captain America and the Winter Soldier, so that's gonna be a nice moment for Sam, you know?
Hasn't Bucky's whole arc been about not being the Winter Soldier anymore?
Yeah, I guess I could've changed his title too, huh? Whoops!
Whoopsie!
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds great. I'm just not sure about that Baron Zemo dancing thing. That seems like a weird thing to include.
Well, I keep seeing this gif of Thanos twerking online, so I feel like the internet's really gonna like it.
Okay. I mean, we could include a second of it, and if people want more, we could release that online.
So, you have some new Disney Plus content for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Although I am kinda worried we might be oversaturating people with Marvel stuff at the moment. Maybe we should take a breather between projects for a sec?
No.
Well, okay then. So I was making my way down the list of Marvel characters we haven't brought into the MCU yet, and I was thinking we could make a She-Hulk show.
Oh yeah, we haven't done that character yet. That sounds like money to me.
Yeah, and it's a real fun character, cause in the comics, she was breaking the fourth wall even before Deadpool.
You know, I can see that working well in Deadpool movies or comic books, but do you think it might lower the impact of the overall MCU to have a character that knows that they're in a cinematic universe?
Hey, shut up. So we're gonna meet Jennifer Walters, who's a lawyer and also Bruce Banner's cousin.
He's from the movies!
He sure is, sir. And so they get into a car accident and she gets some of his blood in her blood.
Oh, unexpected blood combos are tight.
Okay, and so since they're related, she turns into a Hulk as well.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And so Bruce is gonna show her some cool stuff about being a Hulk, like you can drink alcohol and not get drunk.
Why would you want that?
Pretty cool, right?
Not really.
And so he's gonna teach her and try to guide her through these new powers, and she's gonna kinda make fun of him and insult him, so that's gonna be fun.
That kinda makes her seem a little rude and mean. He's just trying to help her cause he cares about her.
Well, she doesn't really want his help, plus she's already kinda mastered the whole Hulk thing already.
Oh, she has?
Yes, sir. She's already fantastic and agile, and she could turn into She-Hulk at will without losing control of herself at all.
How is that possible? I feel like it took Bruce a long time to master all that.
Well, Jen explains to Bruce that because she's been catcalled and mansplained to, and some men are straight up dangerous, she's much better at controlling her anger than Bruce because she's had to do it infinitely more than he has.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, I see what she's saying, and in no way do I want to belittle what women have to go through at all.
Careful.
But also, she's saying this to Bruce Banner, who saved the planet multiple times and lost his best friend and his love interest and was turned into a monster and chased by governments and turned into a gladiator slave on an alien planet, tried to take his own life. It's like, of all people, Bruce.
Yeah, okay, so I hear what you're saying, and it's actually not okay for you to point that out.
Oh, okay, my bad.
It's too late. You're on a list now. You can't have any opinions about this show without being classified as being on one extreme of a very complicated issue.
Ah, dang it. I hate being on lists.
So anyway, Jen goes back to her life as a lawyer, and during a trial, a super-powered influencer, which is a thing in the MCU now apparently, burst through the wall.
Uh-oh.
And so then towards the end of the first episode, Jen's gonna turn into She-Hulk, and everyone's gonna learn that she has powers.
Wow, and so what else do we find out in the first episode?
Oh, well, you know Captain America?
Yeah?
He put his pee-pee in a lady.
What?
Then Jen gets fired from her lawyer job and gets hired at another firm to start, like, a superhero law division.
Okay, so this becomes kind of like a lawyer show.
Ah, kinda. Sometimes. A little.
Do you know how to write courtroom scenes?
Nope, and then so also it's gonna be kind of a slice of life kind of show, like Jen's gonna go on dates and stuff.
Right, okay, does she also fight crime or...
Eh, not so much.
So, like, what happens?
Oh, well, stuff. You know, sometimes.
All right, you gotta give me something, please.
Oh, well, at a certain point, she's gonna represent Emil Blonsky, so that's gonna be pretty cool.
I don't think I know who that is.
Remember? You know, he was in the movie, the 14 years ago, he was in the movie.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no, it wasn't a super memorable character, but yeah.
Well, that doesn't really matter, to be honest, because he's just a completely different character now.
Oh, okay, great, it's all connected.
Also, Wong is gonna show up sometimes.
He's from the movies.
He is, and he's gonna become friends with this girl, Madison.
And what's her deal?
She's always drunk
and she's the absolute best part of the show.
Nice.
Also, at a certain point, She-Hulk is gonna twerk with Megan Thee Stallion.
What? Superheroes don't usually twerk?
Exactly. So people are gonna be like, what? And then other people are gonna be, you know, deeply angry about it.
Oh my god, what?
You know, see, that's gonna be kind of a thing in the show. We're gonna kind of rile up angry internet dudes and then make fun of them for getting riled up.
That's gonna be really good for the state of internet discourse, yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna help with all the toxicity online, I'm pretty sure.
So any interesting plot threads or anything I should know about?
Oh, there's like this group of toxic dudes that call themselves Intelligentsia, and they're trying to get some of She-Hulk's blood.
Oh boy, I bet that's gonna come into play later.
Eh.
The hell was that noise?
It was
Oh yeah, I heard it. What did it mean, though?
Well, see, we're gonna get to the finale, and it's gonna be set up like a big Marvel showdown, you know?
Oh, okay.
So there's gonna be this toxic dude that turns into a Hulk, and then Bruce shows up, and Abomination's there, and it's gonna be this big showdown type thing.
Uh-oh, gonna be hard for her to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Jen is gonna break the fourth wall and be like, is this working for anyone?
Okay.
She's gonna be like, this is kinda crappy, right? Where this show's going, it's not good.
That's, we're making the show.
We are, yeah. And so then she's gonna go into the Disney Plus menu and eventually into the She-Hulk writer's room.
What is going on?
Then eventually meet with the head of Marvel, who as it turns out is just this creatively bankrupt robot algorithm making formulaic decisions based on what it thinks is popular.
Kinda hurtful.
And so she's gonna get him to solve the few problems that were actually happening in the show, and then we're pretty much done. So does just pointing out that the writing wasn't very good make it better in some way?
God, I hope so.
Do you think we risk making any future She-Hulk or even Marvel projects less captivating by having a super meta character that can literally change the script of the shows and movies she's in?
I don't think you could ever go too meta, sir.
Isn't that right, future me who's editing this video?
You know, that's a great question, but again, I'm not, like, I'm just filming myself pretending to edit this video. You know, I'm not actually editing this right now.
Oh.
Maybe we should check with the comment section of this video. I mean, what do you guys think down there in YouTube comment section? Is it possible to get too meta?
Super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Right, okay, that's pretty much all they say down there, I think.
So anyway, what do you think?
Why'd you just zone out for like 30 seconds?
So anyway, what do you think?
I mean, it sounds like a pretty good time. I just feel like it's missing a little something to make sure that people tune in.
I've got just the thing.
So, you have a new show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could do a Moon Knight series.
Oh, like a prank show?
What?
You run around, friggin' show your bare butt to Sir Patrick Stewart?
No.
Mooning Knights is tight.
No, I was thinking like a show about the Marvel character Moon Knight.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense. That's more on brand for us for sure.
Yeah, so we're gonna meet this British guy, Stephen Grant, right? And he keeps blacking out and waking up in strange places.
Oh, been there.
But it turns out when he's blacking out, it's actually a split personality situation, and this guy Mark Spector's taking over.
Oh, so we're doing multiple characters played by the same actor?
Yeah, they're gonna be constantly talking to each other, interacting and stuff.
That never works.
Well, sometimes it works.
It's just weird to watch one guy interacting with himself. It doesn't cut together well. Nobody wants to watch that.
I mean, I feel like some people might.
All right, man, I guess we could give it a shot.
Okay, great. So anyway, it turns out this Mark guy is the avatar of Khonshu, the Egyptian god of the moon.
Okay.
And so he has the ability to summon this badass superhero suit and become the Moon Knight.
Oh man, I can't wait to see Moon Knight in action.
And see him you will, sir.
Oh boy.
For about 15 minutes in the whole runtime.
What?
Yeah, not a ton of Moon Knight in the Moon Knight show. He also does this thing where he blacks out before big action scenes and just kind of comes to with the aftermath.
Kind of want to see those happen.
Well, too bad.
All right. So anyway, Mark and Steven are going to kind of bicker over who gets to control the body as they try to stop this bad guy, Harrow.
Harrow, huh? What's his deal?
Well, he wants to find this other god Amit's tomb so he can bring her back to life and she could kill anyone who has or will commit evil.
Yikes.
Yeah, and Steven sees that Harrow has this Amit-style tattoo on his arm. And he's doing that same thing already, judging people and killing them.
Big yikes.
So Steven's gonna team up with this woman, Layla, who's actually Mark's wife, and try to stop this guy.
Yeah, frickin' stop this guy. Sounds like a real jerk.
So eventually, Khonshu brings them in front of all the other Egyptian gods to tell them about Harrow trying to find Amit's tomb.
Smart.
But then they bring Harrow in, and Harrow's like, actually, Khonshu isn't very nice, and Mark has mental health issues, so the gods are like, all right, well, Harrow's clearly done nothing wrong.
What, that's it? They just believe him?
They just believe him, yeah, that's right.
Why doesn't Mark make him show that magical Amit tattoo of his?
Unclear. So then all the avatars leave, but this one lady stays behind and gives Mark a hint about some other thing he can find that'll help him out.
Oh, very nice.
So him and Layla go on another little adventure, and eventually they find this star map that'll lead them to Amit's tomb.
Okay.
But this star map was made thousands of years ago, so Khonshu has no choice but to turn back the entire night sky to see what it looked like on that night.
I mean, they have, like, iPhone apps that let you do that.
Yeah, but he shifts massive celestial bodies instead of opening the app store.
Wow, people must freak out.
Not really, no. This is the MCU. People see crazy stuff all the time.
That's a good point.
So anyway, then all the other gods punish Khonshu and imprison him inside a little Ushabti figurine.
Oh, dang it.
And so eventually Mark actually finds Amit's Ushabti, but Harrow pops out and shoots him dead.
Oh, that's fatal.
It is, except no, not really, because this is the MCU and death is rarely permanent.
That's another good point.
So Mark wakes up in this asylum-themed afterlife, and he finds Steven trapped inside a sarcophagus begging to be let out.
So that's what happens after you die.
Yeah, sometimes. So then they're walking around and they find another sarcophagus that somebody's trying to get out of.
Wow, so who's in there?
Well, at the very end of the show, we're gonna find out that there's actually a third personality inside the body named Jake Lockley.
They don't open it up? Mark just found Steven inside one of those. Aren't they curious?
No. Oh, okay. You know, they keep walking and they find a hippo.
What?
Yeah, it's this Egyptian goddess and she brings them on a boat sailing through the afterlife.
Okay.
And she weighs their hearts to see if they're balanced and they can enter the Field of Reeds, which is like an eternal paradise kind of place, but their hearts aren't balanced.
So what do they do?
Well, Steven ends up sacrificing himself and turning to sand and being stranded in the Duat Desert so Mark can go to the Field of Reeds.
Well, what about that Jake Lockley part of them? Shouldn't he be involved in this calculation somehow?
Hey, shut up. So then Mark is in the Field of Reeds, but he's like, we gotta go back for Steven. We can't leave him lost in the sands forever.
Yeah, that'd be messed up.
But the hippo goddess is like, it doesn't work like that, Mark.
Wow, well, sounds like it's impossible to get him back then.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, it immediately does work like that, Mark.
Oh.
Yeah, he just kind of magically runs right back into the desert and finds Steven immediately, and then some gates open up and they go through.
Well, that worked out great.
It did. And then also, Layla released Khonshu so Mark and Steven get their healing powers back.
How does she manage to free Khonshu?
Well, turns out all you have to do is smash the figurine and that does the trick.
Oh, nice.
But also, Harrow has everything he needs to set Amit free now, so the other gods show up like, what is going on? Who could be doing this?
Do they not remember the meeting they just had about that?
Yeah, no, they forgot about that, I guess. So they're like, who could it be? And then Harrow kills them all.
Very rude.
So then Amit is released and she's a very angry crocodile.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So she inhales a bunch of souls and becomes super huge. And then Khonshu also becomes really big.
How?
By becoming really big.
Sick.
Yeah, so then there's gonna be this big final fight, and also Layla has powers too now.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, the hippopotamus gave her some bug wings.
This is a weird show.
Kind of. So then Mark turns into Moon Knight and flies in to start kicking some butt.
He flies now?
He flies now.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And then it seems like Harrow is gonna kill Mark and Steven and some bad guys shooting at Layla, but only on the shielded part of her body for some reason.
Uh-oh, so what's Mark gonna do?
He's gonna do what he does best, black out and take care of everything off screen.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the big finale. We don't see what happens.
I kinda wanted to see it.
Well, too bad. So then they trap Amit inside of Harrow's body, cause this way they could kill her.
Okay.
But then Mark and Steven decide not to do it.
What? Why not?
Cause that's kind of a thing in movies and TV. The hero kills a bunch of people throughout the movie, but then when it comes time to kill the big bad guy, they're like, no.
But this is a god that wants to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, and so then Khonshu lets Steven and Mark free because they had made a deal.
Oh, well, that's nice.
It is, but then in a mid-credit scene, we're gonna learn about that Jake Lockley guy, and Khonshu has him kill a bunch of hospital staff to get to Harrow and then kills him.
Khonshu has Jake kill a bunch of innocent employees?
He did, yeah. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like a great show.
Amazing. So what are you thinking for casting? I was thinking Oscar Isaac for Moon Knight.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
For Layla,
we could slide into some DMs.
What?
So, you have a new show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Miss Marvel?
I mean, honestly, we've been putting out so much content, I haven't really had the chance to get nostalgic.
This is a show called Miss Marvel, about this 16-year-old Kamala Khan.
Oh, and what's her deal?
Well, she freaking loves the Avengers, sir, especially Captain Marvel. She has all her merch.
Oh, we're even making fictional money off of merch. I like that.
Yeah, and so Kamala has this friend Bruno, and it seems like he's got a little crush on her.
Aw, teenage love.
And she's gonna meet this new kid, Cameron, and it seems like he has a little crush on her.
Oh, him too. Okay.
And later in the show, she's gonna meet this guy, Kareem, and it seems like he's got a little crush on her.
Him as well, also. All right, him too.
And she also has this brother, Amir.
Oh, no.
And he's gonna get married soon.
Oh, thank God.
So anyway, Kamala really wants to go to this Avengers convention, but her parents are super strict. They don't want her to go.
Okay.
But she sneaks over to it anyway, dressed like Captain Marvel, and that's where she discovers she has powers.
How did she get powers?
By putting on this bangle from her grandmother.
mother.
And?
Getting powers from it.
Oh, that was pretty simple. Okay, neat.
Yeah, so she ends up saving this girl from something that she herself caused, and now she's a secret superhero.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
So anyway, later she's gonna find out that that guy Cameron and his mom Najma are part of this group called the Clandestines.
And what's her deal?
Well, they're from another dimension, and they've been stuck here for like 80 years, and they need Kamala's help to get back.
Right.
But then Bruno's like, well, that might be dangerous. So Kamala's like, okay, well, I'm gonna take a minute to think about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair.
But then Najma hears about that and she goes nuts and they all attack Amir's wedding.
They've been waiting for 80 years and they can't wait a couple more days for Kamala to think about it.
That's what we're going with. And these people have some little powers of their own, so they're pretty dangerous and they'll straight up kill people. They don't care.
Oh no.
But then these federal agents from the Department of Damage Control show up and arrest all the bad guys.
Jeez, well, I guess they must interrogate all the guests from the wedding too, huh?
They do not. So then Kamala's grandmother calls and she's like, hey, listen, you guys gotta come to Karachi right now. So they get on a plane and head over there.
So not only do they not interrogate anyone, they let them leave the country as well?
Oh yeah, they're comically incompetent, sir.
Yeah, sure sounds that way.
But they do take the clandestines into custody.
Wow, is it gonna be tough for them to break out?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, they just kinda do it. They just kinda break out immediately.
Well, these damage control people are terrible at controlling damage.
They sure are, sir. So then in Karachi, Kamala meets these people called the Red Daggers.
And what do they do?
Well, they have a very nifty PowerPoint presentation to explain alternate dimensions and stuff.
They just have that ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, people always have expository presentations ready to go in the MCU.
That's a good point. Weird that we don't ever see anyone preparing those.
Kinda. So then they show her that if the clandestines manage to open up this veil to the Nord dimension where they're from, that'll basically destroy the world.
Whoa, 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 whoa. The world is at stake?
It rarely isn't, sir.
Jeez, whoa. I wonder if the world's gonna end.
Maybe this time it will, you know? Maybe this is the time.
Man, that's high stakes. I hope the world doesn't end. I hope it keeps going.
Well, stay tuned to the rest of the pitch to find out, sir.
I will.
So anyway, later Najma stabs the bangle, which sends Kamala back to 1942 during the partition.
She can time travel?
Yeah, I guess so. So then she saves her own grandmother's life and then comes back.
Good, good. It's good that she did that.
Yeah, she had to make sure that she'd be born one day. I think it'd be really good for the show if the main character was born.
I agree.
So then when she comes back to the present time, the veil is open, but it turns you into a skeleton if you touch it.
Those are from Halloween.
They sure are, sir. So then Kamala convinces Najma that if she ended the world, her son would be sad about that. So she decides not to end it.
Oh, cool that it was so simple to change her mind after 8 decades of determination.
Yeah, so she transfers her powers to her son, which is a thing that she can do, and then she closes the veil and turns into a skeleton.
Wow, well that's a nice message.
What is?
Well, you know, maybe the real skeletons were inside us all along.
Yeah, that's not technically wrong.
Nice.
All right.
Not technically being wrong is tight.
So, okay, so moving on. So then they gotta go back to America because Cameron cannot handle these new powers.
Uh-oh.
So Kamala's parents give her a cool new costume so she can go save the day and help out.
I thought they were super strict and protective.
Yeah, but now that she defied them a bunch and did a whole lot of dangerous stuff, they're like, yeah, we can trust you now.
What?
So all the kids go to their high school, but then Damage Control shows up.
How'd they find them?
Well, one of the kids asks that question, but another one's like, it doesn't matter.
But how did they, though?
Hey, shut up. So now they're outside, and they've got the school surrounded.
Man, well, it's gonna be tough for a group of kids to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they rig up the school Home Alone style, and they take these guys out with science and with softball launchers.
It sounds like it takes super long to set up. Why didn't the agents just go in?
Because? So then these agents try to shoot Cameron dead, but Kamala jumps in and saves him.
They tried to shoot a kid?
They did, yeah. They said they would use non-lethal force and then immediately used lethal force.
Yikes.
So then Kamala punches a hole in the ground and he escapes to Pakistan.
How deep was that hole?
I know, right?
No, like, what are you talking about?
And then Bruno's gonna tell Kamala that he discovered she has a mutation.
That's the word from the other thing.
It sure is, sir. And then Kamala swaps places with Captain Marvel.
Very exciting and confusing.
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Oh, well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Maybe we put this out at the same time as that Obi-Wan Kenobi show we're doing.
Is that the best strategy, sir? Feels like people are gonna wanna watch Obi-Wan instead of Miss Marvel, maybe.
I think it'll be fine.
So, you have a new Marvel series for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could do one about Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good to me.
Which one were you thinking? Thor?
The
Hawkeye.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's subjective, right? Because they all kind of are.
Clint Barton, Jeremy Renner, that's the one Hawkeye.
Oh, I thought you were saying hot guy. Okay, this meeting makes a lot more sense now.
Okay, great.
Wow, well, it's going to be cool to finally see him as the lead in a project.
Yeah, you know it, sir. Well, one of them, you know. Definitely top two.
Oh.
Yeah, because technically another main character other than Hawkeye is going to get more screen time than Hawkeye in the Hawkeye show.
That's right.
Well, okay, then. So who's this other character?
Well, her name's Kate Bishop, and when she was young, she saw Hawkeye jump off a building, so she was like, wow, I want to do that.
Oh, God, that is super dark.
No, like in a superhero way.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So after the Battle of New York, she gets super good at archery and fighting because she wants to be just like Hawkeye.
Very exciting.
And so now she's 22 and her super rich mom, Eleanor, is gonna get married to this seemingly sketchy guy, Jack.
Okay.
And then at this big gala, Kate sneaks into this black market auction going on in secret.
What kind of stuff are they auctioning?
Oh, they've got a bunch of crazy stuff. Like Hawkeye's gear from when he was Ronin, you know, when he was killing a bunch of criminals.
Oh, yeah.
And so then this gang called the Tracksuit Mafia busts in to steal this watch, and Kate puts on the Ronin costume and kicks some butt.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
And then one of the tracksuit guys finds the watch, but this dog starts biting his leg out of nowhere.
Just randomly attacks this guy? Why'd he do that?
Because this man's a bad guy and the dog's a good boy.
A very good boy.
And so then Kate's gonna rescue this dog from traffic and then feed him pizza the whole show.
So she rewards the dog with diarrhea.
She does, yeah. That's a lot of cheese for a dog, for sure.
Ugh.
So anyway, since Kate caused a bunch of commotion while wearing the Ronin costume, there's a news report that Ronin is back.
Okay.
So the tracksuit mafia tracks her down.
Oh boy, these guys sound scary.
Yeah, except
no, they're basically cartoons.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they just give off this very dumb, wacky, cartoony, violent vibe, like Arnold Schwarzenegger in that Christmas movie he did.
Jingle All the Way.
No, they just make normal walking sounds.
That's, never mind.
And so Clint sees this news report too, so he tracks her down and saves her from the tracksuits, but then confronts her.
How did he find her?
I don't know.
All right.
So now Clint's gotta tie up all these Ronin loose ends and make it home in time for Christmas.
Oh, it's a Christmas show.
Kinda.
That'll be very good for marketing.
For sure.
So what kind of stuff are they gonna get into?
Well, they're gonna get involved with this group of LARPers, kind of become friends with them, call in a couple favors.
What kind of favors?
Like, you know, making some costumes, tampering with police evidence, risking their jobs and lives.
Oh my God.
And they're also gonna have to go up against this crime lady, Maya, who like leads the tracksuit mafia.
And what's her deal?
Well, she's mad at Hawkeye because he killed her dad while he was Ronin.
Oh yeah, understandable.
Yeah, and she's got this number two guy with her, and this guy is not Kit Harrington.
Okay.
It's not him. It's a totally different guy.
Kind of weird to specify, but yeah, all right.
And we're going to keep teasing that Maya works for someone mysterious.
Oh. Ralph Boner?
Nope.
Okay.
So eventually there's gonna be this big fight scene between Clint and Kate and Maya and Yelena. She's from the Black Widow movie.
She sure is, sir.
Well, it's gonna be hard for Kate and Clint to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy.
Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after a certain amount of fighting, they both just kinda, they just run away.
Why?
Oh, the episode's over, sir.
Oh, okay. And so Clint tells Kate, you know, you gotta go home. This is too dangerous now. There's a Black Widow assassin after me.
Wow, yeah, I guess he doesn't want to put her in danger.
Exactly. So he goes to sleep on the couch of a LARPer guy he knows.
So it's okay to put that guy in danger?
It is, yeah.
Got it.
So eventually Clint is gonna explain the situation to Maya, so she's gonna stop trying to kill him.
What's the explanation?
Well, he was kind of being manipulated by her boss while he was just mad with rage.
Okay, he was just following orders.
Well, let's for sure not phrase it that way, but yeah.
Yeah, good call.
So anyway, then we're gonna reveal that Kate's mom is actually the one who hired Yelena, and she's working for Kingpin. He's from that streaming show with the completely different vibe.
He sure is, sir, and he's the mysterious guy that Maya is working for, too.
Amazing.
So in the final episode, there's gonna be a bunch of crazy action going on around Rockefeller Center.
What kind of action?
Oh, well, like Clint gets stuck up in the giant Christmas tree, so Kate knocks it over to get him to the ground.
That seems like it could have easily killed him.
Yeah, but it doesn't, because he's one of the main characters.
Right.
And then they're gonna use a bunch of trick arrows to fight a bunch of cartoon characters.
Very wacky.
Extremely, sir, and they're gonna use a Pym arrow to turn this truckload of bad guys tiny, and then an owl is gonna fly away with them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, pretty funny, right?
That's like, I feel like that's one of the most horrifying things that's ever happened in the MCU.
But
but like also funny though.
That owl is gonna eat those guys.
Kind of a cute moment though.
That owl is gonna pick apart their flesh with its little beak.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, what a horrible way to die. Oh, I'm gonna have nightmares.
Okay, yeah, maybe let's not think about that one too much then.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great, that gets dark very quick. Ignoring gruesome owl-related deaths is tight. Anyway, so then Kate's gonna go up against Kingpin and somehow not explode when he hits her. Very resilient. And Kate's mom is gonna sneak up on Kingpin in a car going 70 miles an hour. How'd she manage to sneak up on him in a car? By being off screen until suddenly she isn't. All right. And then also Yelena wants to kill Clint because she thinks he's responsible for Natasha's death. Yeah, so what's Clint gonna do? Explain that situation as well. A lot of communication-related conflict going on. Oh yeah, a ton. People should talk more, you know? They should, yeah. Hey, shouldn't there be a bunch of police around? Like the Rockefeller Christmas tree fell down, people are fighting, cars are crashing. Yeah, definitely. Anyway, so then one cop does show up and he arrests Kate's mom because she murdered a guy in the first episode. Oh, and does the cop also arrest Kate for knocking down the Rockefeller Christmas tree? He doesn't, no.
Huh. Might be considered terrorism.
So then Kate goes home with Clint for Christmas and they have this nice moment where they absolutely ruin his barbecue together. What? Oh, and also Maya's gonna shoot Kingpin. Oh. But it happens off screen, you know, and if you don't see a character die, then, you know, maybe they're not dead. That's true, right. And, you know, if you do see them die, maybe that was just a Skrull and the real one's still alive. Right. And, you know, if it wasn't a Skrull, maybe it was a version from another universe and the real one's still alive. Uh-huh. And, you know, if they weren't from another universe, maybe the characters can get more Pym particles and time travel and save them from dying.
Wow.
Wow, we can really reverse any single thing that happens in these projects, can't we? Oh yeah, at any time, in many ways. Kinda lowers the impact of any single dramatic thing that happens in this ever-expanding universe of ours. Like, what are the stakes if everything can be so easily retconned? Would it make you feel better if we made another spin-off show? That could make money. Oh, I love spin-off shows and money. Okay, let's do it. Okay, great.
Hey everybody, Ryan here. That's me. Thanks for watching the video. And if you liked it, feel free to click the like button and the subscribe button and all, you know, buttons of that nature. You can also leave a comment down below letting me know what other movies you want to see pitches for. There are also like hundreds of other episodes on the channel that you can check out if you want. As always, check back soon for a new one. Bye.